transform us. Help us not only to hear, but to receive the power to do, the power to be transformed, the power to become. To you be praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just before they bring back my computer, I don't know who stole my computer. I guess they are loading some more. I think they are loading this what was supposed to be this session, and then we'll go from that set to the next one. Again, I want to take you through the various options of the books and the tapes. Make sure you get them. Option one, the 10 best-selling CDs and messages of Pastor on Singles. That is this one. And then today's Single Summit tapes, The Power of Positive Prayer for Singles. Option two, so this option one is £112, you pay 65. Option two, 10 best-selling DVDs, Single Summit DVD, Power Positive Prayer book. It's £150, you pay 75. Option three, True Love Waits, the tape, Don't Date Devil, the tape, Single Summit 2006, four books worth £8 each. Absolutely free, total price 70. Option four, all about 10 books in option four. Option five, True Love Waits, CD, Don't Date Devil CD, Single Summit 2006 audio. Pastor Matthew, Classic 10, Man of Honor. They're giving you everything here. £205, you pay £145. Let's even go one step further. If somebody buys options one, two, three, and five, they will get option four free. So buy four, get all five. And there are individual tips and books, of course. They will bless you. We're doing all our best to be a blessing to you. Why did you steal my computer? Is that where I was? Would I see the link? All right. I only studied Bible, not computer.
This is where you are.
I'm going to pause this place a little bit. Sure? Okay. Okay, yeah, we were here. And then we came here, okay. In developing the nature of confidence, you must learn to say the following. Remember again, welcome to this session. We are continuing on the confident woman. From there, we will move and look at what I call issues. Dealing with the issues that confront us. Issues. And then you will enjoy the last session also. In developing the nature of confidence which you need as a woman, you must learn to say the following. I have a lot to give. Never look at yourself as if I'm not bringing anything to the table. You definitely are bringing something to the table. You are bringing whom God made you. There is a gift and ability in you. God don't make junk. God never makes anyone to be empty. There is an ability in you. Are you performing a drama or not? So he says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, you have a lot to give, and it's unfair to want to receive when you don't give. You've got to also recognize that relationship is two-dimensional. Never court a guy who is emotionally empty and has nothing to give you. Never court a lady who is emotionally empty and has nothing to give you. You will keep emptying into their glass when they have nothing to pour back into yours. And you've got to understand that if you keep pouring into the person's life and they don't pour back into yours, one day you could just have a breakdown. I've seen people, Christians, born again, have a nervous breakdown because the other person was just on the receiving end and never gave back. And they kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. However, always remember, you have something to give. You have a lot to give. Let the lady say, I have a lot to give. Or say it louder, I have a lot to give. Number two, you need to tell yourself, any guy will be blessed to talk to me. Ah, the ladies like this one. All right, now I know what to teach next year. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. A woman is a good favor from God, and you are one favor from God. You are not trouble. Don't carry in your head, here comes trouble. Don't carry in your action, here comes trouble. Any guy, always tell yourself, whoever talks to me is blessed. Because I'm a pack of blessing. When I walk into any place, I'm a carrier of blessing. Favor walks with me. Favor moves with me. Favor is around me. Therefore, this develops and raises your confidence level. Number one, you tell yourself, I have a lot to give. I'm gifted, I'm talented, I'm anointed, I'm a woman of prayer. What a joy it would be for a man to marry a woman of prayer. She's praying for you. You go abroad, she's praying for you. Things happen, she's praying for you. You don't want the one you're busy telling her your problem and she's checking her nails. So number two, you tell yourself. In fact, make sure you get this DVD and tell yourself continuously until you raise your confidence level. Any guy will be blessed to talk to me. Number three, I'm charming and entertaining. Never tell yourself I'm not beautiful. You are beautiful. You are charming. You are entertaining. You are the gift of God. And never carry yourself like you are in a hurry in life. You just say, I don't care. No, you should care. You are a charming person. And you are very entertaining. And therefore, you should tell yourself these things every day. By these, you raise your confidence level. Next, I am great company. When I'm around anyone, their confidence level rises. They'll be proud to say, oh, meet my fiancée. Meet my friend. You must tell yourself these things because it helps you to value who you are in God. The Bible says of the Proverbs 31 woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil, no need of maybe somebody giving him any extra thing from outside. That's what spoil is. I am great company. Wherever I am, I'm good company of such people. I make them feel blessed. I make them feel favored. I am great company. Always focus on your future. Stop focusing on your past. Don't look at what you have done or have been in the past. Don't look at what mistakes you have made in the past. Yes, that was who you were then. But now, no matter what has been, no matter what you have gone through in life, you must always tell yourself what blessing you are now. You are great company. You are charming. You are entertaining. You are good looking. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Amen. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Haven't you seen 82, 85, 90-year-old people fall in love? No teeth, but they fall in love. You know, they still fall in love. Because what's God love to do? What's love got to do with teeth? I love being myself. I am fabulous. See, for some of you, it's a shock that this is in front of you today, probably in a church, that you should tell yourself you should be yourself, you should recognize that you are fabulous. Of course, that's who you are. Somebody say, I am fabulous. Not the men now. Let the men keep quiet. Let the ladies say, I am fabulous. You must love being yourself. Don't be somebody else. The guy who wants to date you, court you, marry you possibly, is not interested in someone else. He wants you, who you are. Told this story several times of the lady I once read of who spent £25,000 trying to look like Diana Ross. What a waste of money. And she ended being a bad photocopy of somebody else's original. Touch yourself, say, I'm original.
I'm original.
I'm not a photocopy.
I am original.
Love being yourself. Love being yourself. Nothing wrong with learning from other people, valuing what they are, taking something from what they have, but you must love being yourself. If somebody says, oh, the in thing is to dress this way, well, that's the in thing. I love being myself. I love who God made me to be. I am fabulous. I'm a virtuous woman. You see, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. You must tell yourself these things. If you tell yourself daily, it raises your confidence level. I am a great person to come into any man's life. You must tell yourself that also. So when the guy comes and he says, hey, sis, what's up? Do you feel like lunch today? Oh, sure. I mean, it's free lunch. Go have the lunch, man. Go have the lunch. Go have the lunch. And you must have your testing questions during lunch. So, what are you up to, my dear brother? What are you doing now? What's your vision for the next 5 years? How do you perceive? You can ask him either very genteel, domesticated, quiet questions or very intellectual questions, depending on what you are looking for. You can either ask him questions about, so what do we do about clothing nowadays, is it okay for the kind of clothes people wear? That is a genteel, quiet one. Or you could ask him a tough one. Would the conservatives not been able to get... not been able to get majority in the House... And it doesn't look like they are strong enough to maybe produce the next prime minister. What would you think is the option in the future? It just tells you where he is. It depends on what you are looking for. If you want the man who can answer questions about the latest design, Moschino, Versace, Prada, He answers you those ones. But if you want the man who is, you know, some ladies are attracted to the intellectual guy, you should have your questions ready. Once you ask him those questions and he's saying, conservative, Labor, who cares? You just say to yourself, all right. Okay, next. My life is already complete. This is the next statement you must tell yourself. I'm already complete. Listen, you need to buy all those tapes, because in one of them I did teach on what it means to be single. It is to be, if somebody can remember what I taught, I'll give them a tape. Come. She seems to get it. What does he say again? To be single means you are unique and you are whole. Here's 10 tips. Even the teacher has forgotten what he taught. So it means that you are already complete, unique, and whole. That is what it means to be single. When the Bible says that it is not good for a man to be alone, I will make him a help meet. When you are a single person, you are complete, unique, and whole. So when you come into a relationship, you are bringing your completeness, uniqueness, and wholeness. If you leave those three outside the door, don't come. Never marry a person who feels incomplete, who doesn't feel unique, and who doesn't feel whole. My life is already complete. Of course, the man you are about to marry is a completer. The woman you are about to marry is a completer. But it is in the sense that the cake is ready. They are bringing the icing. You know, they're just coming to finalize what was already there. And you are completing him who is the head of all principality and power. You must have a sense of wholeness, a sense of completeness. Never let your life depend on others for its completeness, or else they will use it to mortgage you. They'll mortgage your life with it. They control you with it. You must have a sense that I am not arrogant, I'm not proud, but I feel a sense of completeness, blessed with the gifts God has placed in me, rejoicing in whom he has made me to be, not feeling less, not going back to the place I'm coming from, rather focusing on where I'm going to. I just described the home from where I came from to you, but that's where I'm coming from. That don't mean I live there anymore. I've moved on. Praise God. Because the first step in victory is admission. Many don't admit problem. They bury their head in the sand. The first step in victory is to admit that there is a problem. Is the man I have met good enough for me? Because he may not be. Although, remember what we said, he could be the 80% man. If you meet the 80% man, don't throw him away. There is no 100% anywhere. You are not. So if you meet an 80% person, know that they may not be totally good enough, but there are indicators that show very clearly that, hey, we cannot go on together, particularly if the person is not willing to change and is not making movement in the direction of a change of life. And I want you to know, when you meet such persons, they don't want you to even listen to the church. They'll say the church is so hard. We are adults. We can do what we like. We don't need anybody's counseling. And I'm telling you, standing on this side of the story, 32 years of pastoring, 90% of the times when the man have persuaded the lady that they don't need the church's counseling, they've ended beating one another up or even divorcing. 90%. In fact, I'm tempted to move it up. I know what I want in a man. Do you? Because you've got to by now know clearly what you want. First of all, I want to beg you, above every other desire, you must desire that the man truly be a man after God's heart. Because a man after God's heart will be a replica of his father. And if he's a replica of his father, God, then you have no problem, because then God is love, then your husband will be a loving man. Are you with me? Let all the confident women say amen.
Amen.
Ah, looks like your confidence level is rising. It's going to hit the roof very soon. Hit the roof. Praise God. Then I am satisfied with who I have become. Are you satisfied with who you've become? Because if you carry yourself with a feeling of, look what life has made out of me. Mighty frustrated on the company floor. You feel frustrated and then you're looking for a man to dump yourself on. The guy is in double trouble, man. Real double trouble. So, you must be satisfied with who you have become. If you are not, then address the area where you feel inadequate. Maybe you feel inadequate in the area of education. Then get one if you want to. Or if you feel inadequate in the area of finance, then do something to increase your financial capacity. But don't go into a relationship ending in marriage if you're not satisfied with who you have become. Of course, I know life is progressive. You continue. The path of a just man shines unto a brighter day. But I'm saying, be happy with now in the anticipation of tomorrow. If you are not happy with now, you are just increasing somebody else's unhappiness. Particularly if you are unhappy with yourself as a confident woman and you marry a guy who is confident in himself and in the gift and grace of God in him, oh my God, there will be trouble. Why? Because your lack of confidence in who you are in God will show very clearly, because you will always be at the bottom while he's up there. And it's very easy for the person who lacks confidence to pull down the one who has it. Have you seen a marriage where there's constant conflict? Maybe one is a real achiever, a go-getter, a person who really is committed to achieving their vision, making it happen. And the other one is just laid back, lackadaisical, feeling inadequate all the time. They tend to pull down. I don't know what if you know what I'm talking about. Imagine if Carl Lewis were here today. Carl Lewis, or what's the own here in Britain now? What's his name? Linford Christie was here, and he was around 100 meters with Pastor Matthew. You know what I'm saying? It would be unfair for us to start the same time. I mean, I'm older than the guy, you know. And elders first, you know what I'm saying? I should run first, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, if I and Linford Christie were to be asked to run a mile, the guy will have to wait for me if we have to finish the same time. He'll keep saying, come on, Pastor, you're holding me down. Come on, Pastor, you're holding me down. Come on, Pastor, you're holding me down. If you're not satisfied with who you are, you will hold your husband down. You will hold your spouse down. Because the guy's gone at the sound of the gun, and you are in slow motion. So he waits all the time, waits all the time, waits all the time, has visions, dreams, aspirations, has goals. You know, some people know how to set goals and pursue their goal and make it happen. If you have no confidence in whom God has made you, you will constantly pull the other person down. Very important. This one is really very key. You must be satisfied with who you have become. If I'm not happy in a relationship, I'm ready to walk away from it. This is a powerful statement from a confident woman. She's not ready to stay because she says, well, how many men are out there? Huh? How many men? My mother is really very funny. She said, because there are not many men, it made the frog carry her husband on her back. But really, jokes apart, even if there are not many people out there, you don't want to live a nightmare. Better to be single than live a nightmare, than become the punch bag of someone, or someone who is rejected every day, pushed around and made to feel like the guy looks at them and says, when were you created? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? So if a confident woman will say, if I'm not happy in a relationship, not married now, because if you get married, you'd better stay there. Stay there. If you have questions about divorce, I'm touching it very soon. I have great friends, wonderful friends, and those who love me. That is a confident woman. And she therefore knows that. You see, and this is very key. This is really very key. How many friends do you have? Are they positive friends? Are they good friends? If you have none, and you say, I have no friends and I don't care. Don't dare a relationship. Because a person who has no friends is an indication that they are not very good at relationships. And if you lose friends easily, it is probably because you attract your kind. When a choleric person attracts a choleric, they always fight. So if you have no great friends in your life, it is not very easy to maintain a relationship. But if you have great friends, wonderful friends, those who love you and wish the best for you and encourage you when you find a relationship, you find that when you eventually are in courtship, you will stay in it if the person you are courting honors you, because you've already had friends who have lifted your feeling. So you wouldn't settle for anything less. Is that clear? I am wise and experienced. Never put yourself down. You have the wisdom of God. You have the wisdom of God. I said you have the wisdom of God. So always tell yourself, I'm not foolish. I'm a wise woman. I'm not a foolish woman. I'm full of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God directs me. The Bible says charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The word fears the Lord here means walking in wisdom. I am wise and experienced. There is so much more to me than my looks. And you must mean that. How do we know? If some women will honestly face it, they will find that that's where they've put most of their investment. They have more on looking good than they do have on being good. They have every cosmetic you could think of, whether it agrees with them or not. They have cosmetic. I don't know where you put cosmetics. Forgive me if I don't have the right English for this now. They have it all over the place, but they don't even have one book they've read in recent time. It tells you where the investment is. You have a wardrobe you can't shut, but yet you don't have a bookshelf. You have a wardrobe you can't shut, but you don't have a bookshelf. And you're wondering why some guy treats you like a bimbo. Pastor Matthew. That's the truth. Now, that's a hard one, but that's the truth. You know, some people invest, they have the latest clothes, they have all sorts. but they don't even have two books in their house. They never ask the price of a Prada shoe. They never ask the price of a Moschino bag. Oh, what's the name of the other one? Brown color now. A coffee color now. Louis Vuitton. They never ask the price of a Louis Vuitton bag. A Louis Vuitton shoe. They never ask. But put a book out there and say, how much is this one? 12 pounds? And forgive me, if you cannot wear anything that has no designer name, you have no identity. Ouch. You know why I'm not tough? Because I've got you here. You can't leave. Never buy clothes or things because they have a name. Buy it because you like it. Only I can change my life. Because you are the only one who can allow Christ to bring that transformation to your life. You are the only one who can allow Christ to really change your mindset. My life is already beautiful before the man steps in. You must feel this way before you go into a relationship or you are in trouble. You must feel beautiful inside. You must feel confident. And honestly, let the men wake up, because a lot of men can't stand a strong woman. So I want a woman I can control. Somebody is preaching his own sermon somewhere there. My life is already beautiful before a man steps in. Because if you don't feel that way, when the going gets tough and you start fighting and arguing, the man will throw that in one day. Have you forgotten where I picked you? You forgot where I picked you, what you were like when I picked you. The devil is a liar. Somebody say, in God,
I am beautiful.
I am whom God says I am. I have what God says I have. The next point, I don't want anything from anyone. I am already blessed. Now, this is not arrogance. This is a confident woman. Because if you are looking for a guy because he has money, he knows. Men know when a woman wants them for the money. He was all for the money. They know. The guy may be giving it, but he knows. He knows that it was for the money. You must be blessed, happy. So when the guy is stingy, you can tell. And if he's a giving person, you can tell. I don't want anything from anyone because I'm already blessed. Blessing does not mean you have too much. It just means you are satisfied with what God has provided. So if the person brings, it's an addition. If they withdraw it, oh, before you came, I was okay. Next one, I am giving so much to the kingdom. That is a confident woman. She is excited about the kingdom of God. She is sowing seed into the kingdom of God. She is blessing the work of God. And of course, you have to look for a man who shares the same vision. Not the one when you say tithe, he says, no, that's too tight. We are too tight right now. We can't tithe because we're in a tight situation. My happiness depends not on external persons, but knowing who I am in God. Who are you? You are a child of God, born of God, filled with God. The life of God is in you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. What God has placed in you, no man can give you. God created you in his image. He washed you with his blood. He filled you with his presence. His Holy Spirit lives in you. Your name is written in the book of life. He called you out of many generations. He chose you. Not that you loved him first, but he first loved you. Who else can do all this for you? I mean, Jesus went as far as dying for you. This I did for you. What have you done for me? So, you must have that happiness that is dependent on your knowledge of God, not on the fact that you have a guy whom you are courting. He is the best thing that happened since sliced bread. Because if he walks out of your life, you say, I'm finished. River Thames, here I come. I'm finished. I'm finished. Before he came, you were happy. Of course, when a person leaves you, there will be a breaking of the heart, but not a destroyal of the life. No. Now the guy signed said, little did I know that when she went away, she took a little of my heart. There's a song they used to sing in the 60s. The only girl I ever loved is gone away. Looking for a brand new life. Little did I know that when she went away, she took a little of my heart. Don't come to me after the service asking for a copy of the song. I have a heart and the right attitude to life. I have a heart and the right attitude to life. Next one says, I am a beautiful person. Remember, we have emphasized that several times. Even if your hair is going north by northwest, you are a beautiful person. You don't have hair, you are a beautiful person. The wig is more than the hair there, you are a beautiful person. Attachment, detachment. You are a beautiful person. Somebody say, I am beautiful. Or say it with confidence. I am beautiful. I am whom God says I am. Some of us, our parents didn't help. They said the wrong thing to our life. They called us names. They compared us. Every time we made a mistake, they used our body structure to abuse us. Or maybe your parents never did. Some others went through that abuse. And the parents didn't realize it's an abuse. They didn't realize it was an abuse. The personality of a confident woman. This particular subject won't go. We need to finish this one on time. Are you enjoying this one? Okay, let's look at the personality of a confident woman. Why are men attracted to certain women? Why do they move away from the others? Even though we said that a good number of men do not quite want a woman who is strong, but that is, again, we need to qualify that. Men are also attracted to a woman who is confident, who knows what she wants to do, who also is a strength to the marriage. No man wants to marry a liability. Lord have mercy. That's a very strong economic word. Doesn't fit in the area of relationship, but for want of the right word, I had to use that one. Why are men attracted to certain women? There are some ladies, so many people are going to them. Saying, can we have lunch? Can we have dinner? Can we have lunch? She's thinking, am I the only one? Well, anyway, let me eat all the free lunch while it's available. And why do they move away from some others? And some are, listen, KIC is a church that casts out demons, prays for people who need deliverance. Some people have gone for deliverance, thinking it must be a demon that makes a guy date them once and that's over, and they don't realize it's not a demon. It's a statement from you that is making them feel that, hey, this lady is trouble. Because nobody wants to live with trouble. I mean, you can encounter trouble for a short while, but can you imagine marrying trouble, taking trouble home, sharing your home with trouble, sharing your bed with trouble, till death do us part with trouble? What kind of a woman is such that people want to relate to her? Let us look at four characteristics of a confident woman who people just want to relate to. Number one, this godly, confident woman has presence. Oh, somebody say presence. Presence. Say louder, presence. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? Ruth chapter 2, verse 5. Dressed in a shabby peasant clothes. Poor, widowed early in life. Everything she lived for had been taken by the tragedy of death. Her husband died, brother-in-law died. Father-in-law died, and her mother-in-law have just done a deed poll. She changed her name from sweetness to bitterness. Sadness occupied the house, and everything they built and owned in Moab, the mother-in-law said they must leave it and come to Israel to start all over. They didn't even have money to buy food. And so she has to jump on the wagon of the only social security available in old Israel. The only social security available in old Israel was that you show up in any farmer, in any place where there is harvesting, they were required to leave leftover by the side of the road. And you picked the leftover. The book of Leviticus said it was for the poor of the land. And as Ruth came picking the leftovers that was meant for the poor of the land, there was a presence. There was something about, there were ladies there walking with the guys. Boaz didn't see them. But there was something about Ruth. She carried a presence that made Boaz to ask. He didn't say, who is that young woman? He said, whose young woman is that? Whose wife? But they said, well, we don't know. It looks like she was the one who came back with Naomi. Many women are their own worst enemy. They have a critical eye. And that critical eye, they turn on themselves. I don't like my nose. I don't like my eye. I don't like this. I don't like that. They tear everything apart. They turn the lens on themselves, magnifying their own weakness when they should look for the things which are of quality and look which God has already placed there and value it, appreciate it, and thank God for it. I remember reading a book, I don't think it's available in the bookstores here, by a young lady. She said all her life she was told she's ugly. They called her Hoochie Mama, just to make her feel ugly. And even the name she had, they laughed at it before she later found that it meant something very beautiful. And all her life, she felt truly ugly and gave herself to every man who wanted to sleep with her because she felt that was the way to feel loved. No, what's love got to do with sex? A man can sleep with a woman without love. With men, it is their physical body that was involved. With the woman, her body, her soul, her spirit was involved. A man can sleep here and he's saying next. There is something about you that is still a best-kept secret, which the world needs to discover. They haven't met with the real you yet. And when they do, they will come to attention. Because you carry presence, the presence of God. Your persona, filled with the Holy Spirit, makes you distinct, different, full of God. By presence, we are not talking of superfluity. We're not talking of bling bling. We're not talking of attention-catching hairstyle. Because you could do that and even be outrageous and distracting. We are talking of qualities that command a divine and physical attention, like the following. Intuition. Intuition is the ability to know inside you. Oh, every man loves to live with a woman who has intuition. A woman who just knows when her husband should do a business or not. A woman who just knows when a husband should lay hands on a thing or not do it. She just has intuition that it will turn right. Her husband is hasty about it. She says, I think this is the right one. He says, are you sure? He said, because I know you. When you say it is the right thing, it is the right thing. Because she carries presence. Empathy. Empathy is stronger than sympathy. Sympathy is feeling sorry for people. A woman with presence has empathy. Empathy means putting yourself in the shoes of the people that hurt. When you meet people who truly carry presence, they also have a sense of empathy. They are listeners. They like to listen. And good listeners help in healing. Do you realize that when people tell you they need your counseling, they don't really need your opinion. They just want somebody to listen. And a woman with presence is a great listener. Consideration. They consider. They have a consideration. They feel for the other person. They don't say, well, good for you. They're very attentive. They know when not to speak. This is a woman with presence. She is not threatened by the fact that she did not speak. Neither does she feel inadequate. They know when not to speak. They have a sensitivity to people, to situations. They have passion. A woman with presence has passion. Passion about the vision, the dream she wants to achieve, the things she wants to do, the things she wants to make happen. Tact. Tact is the ability to handle a difficult situation. Tact is the ability to be able to face a terrible experience, embarrassing experience, and still manage it well. Tact is what will make a woman with presence rescue her husband from embarrassment. The creditors came knocking. And she knew the whole of her husband's ego and sense of manhood is attached to how things happen on that day. And she goes out there and deals with those creditors in a way that by the time she finishes and she turns to her husband, he wants to explain. She just makes a statement that keeps his confidence back. That's a woman. Because there are others whom when the creditors came, she said, Joe, they're here. Joe says, who? Your friends. A woman with presence is inquisitive. She's ever learning. She has questions. She wants to know. She searches. She doesn't stay. You know, many women want to marry, but they've never read a book on something about men. They've never read a book on knowing why men behave the way they behave. Because you went and watched a film called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels don't mean that you know enough about men. never read any book. Well, let's even give kudos to women. Men are worse with magazines. You never see men's magazine. We don't have you. What is it, Stella? Huh? Bella. All right. No. One guy one time wrote a magazine called Brothers. I said, go and do another one called Sisters. Because brothers don't wake up and say, I'm looking for a magazine. It's a lady that, I mean, you check any home where they are married, the people they are married. In married couples, it's the wife that buys Hello. The man may browse through it, but it's the woman that buys the Hello. I told the guy, you went to write a magazine for brothers. Have no time. Go and do one for sister. He said, Pastor, you are right. It's the ladies that are buying the brothers magazine. She's inquisitive. She has cheerfulness because of presence. Somebody say presence. She has a non-judgmental attitude. This is the kind of woman who men are drawn to because she carries a presence. She carries a presence that makes her, even in the face of the worst situation, she handles it very well. She can be trusted because she trusts. She has a focus. She's adaptable. She has social sensitivity. She knows how to handle every social situation. And so the man feels so proud of whom he has married, whether it is with the upper echelon of society or the lower class. And she has to entertain them. She knows what to do. She doesn't embarrass the man. She doesn't embarrass him in front of his family or colleagues. She also has a sense of authority, even in not saying much. She has compassion, understanding, poise. A woman who manifests these characteristics will certainly be the desire of any man. Let the man say amen now. However, this cannot be unless you allow God to work in you, to bring out this strength that will already be latent in you or has been silenced by the negative experiences, the abuses which you have been through. Some women here have been raised in an atmosphere where your mom was suppressed all her life and she had to keep deferring, just wanting to satisfy your dad, the children. So she had no life. She was running helter-skelter. First to wake, last to sleep, last to eat when there was not enough food in the house. It's really not fair on some mothers. And men sometimes wonder why the children are drawn to their mother. They don't realize that children are not fools. They know who was there all those times. If the child is late outside, it's the mother who's first concerned. She says, 10 p.m., you must be back, Johnny. It's 10:30. Johnny's not back. Daddy's reading his newspaper. It's 11. She's saying, oh, what has happened? His mobile phone is reading. Daddy said, well, he'll put it on when he likes. Please leave me alone. Can I have my food now or something? Personality is number two. I'm going to close this one very soon. And four. Number two is personality. By this, we're talking of the nature that makes you amiable, accessible, lovable. It's a personality that makes you amiable means lovable. Amigo, as they say in Italy. Lovable, friendly, somebody who people can just reach out to. An amiable person, an accessible person, a lovable person, personality. Is the second. Remember, the first quality characteristic of the confident woman is presence. The second one is personality. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. No man wants to live the rest of his life with a woman who has no great personality. No. No man wants to come home embarrassed because his wife is wearing Saturday on top of Sunday. To decide to live with such a person is banishing yourself to life imprisonment. Living dangerously. To decide to live such a life is like really suspending your joy until you see Jesus. A guy was traveling from London to Birmingham. He was in the train. His wife was by his side. His wife was a very tall, stouty, strong woman. And he was a small, skimpy, emaciated man. Buried his head in a book he was reading. Guess the title of the book, Living Dangerously. Our time is gone again. We'll spend another hour plus on this one. So we have to have another break. Okay, I'll wrap this up for 4, and then we'll go on a break and come 4:30 and have the last session. They're not allowing me to cover all the material I want to teach today. But are you being blessed?
Yes.
By a sense of personality, we're talking of you being well-mannered, energetic, patient, appreciative, affectionate, loyal, practical, positive planner, great cook, pillar of strength. Oh, you were saying? He smuggled that one in as a man. Pillar of strength, sporty, unselfish, committed. I can't take all of this, but at least you can get the drift. A sense of personality means a person who you can see whose life shows strength. They are mannered, they are energetic, they are patient, they are affectionate, they are loving. And people are drawn to such a person because their life is a strength, a tower of strength, a message in itself. The Bible says it's better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Every little thing, she throws the chair. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. The third of the quality of a confident woman is content. Oh, somebody say content. What you have inside you determines what will manifest on the outside. It's not very difficult to know where people are, where their treasure is. It's not difficult to know. I was in, within 9 days, I went broom all over America, Atlanta, Washington, Atlanta, Dallas, New Jersey, in 9 days. When I was in Dallas, the program came up on TV on how to determine people's class, if they were lower class or upper or middle class or upper class. And some thought their class was determined by the clothes they wore. And they didn't know you can buy status, you cannot buy class. You can't buy a class, you can only buy status. So when they wore those things, they thought it determined where they belonged. A confident woman has content, mental content, emotional content, social, spiritual, financial. And even where there is a lack, people wouldn't know. You know, there are people who are raised in poor homes and you can't tell they were poor because mother knows how to handle situations. She was a woman with content. She had emotional fullness. She poured it into her children. She raised confident children who felt like kings though they lived in a shack. That is a confident woman who can handle situations. Because what you have inside you determines what will manifest on the outside. Your content must be in agreement with who you are inside. It must be in agreement. It should reflect who you really are and what your interests are. Content is what keeps you abreast of facts. Excuse me, sisters, if you think that a man is attracted to when the body is not properly covered, you deceive yourself. They straight away just tell themselves, maybe great body, but no content. Because if you have content, you know that I don't have to see your body to be attracted to you. Content is what keeps you abreast of facts. Physical content, spiritual content, mental content, emotional content. Have you met confident children before? Not arrogant, but you could tell. These children are confident. They know what they are doing. They know where they are going. It's because of the kind of parent they've had, probably the mother. Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. If you have no content, you can't do business. If you have no content, you can't manage anything major. If you have no content, you can't make a home run well. It is the ability to be current on matters around you. Financially current. Current on things affecting children. There was a time you could preach to your kid, don't listen to worldly music. What do you know is on his iPod? You can only know he's listening to some music because he has the CD. How about if it's on the iPod? Or if it's on the computer and he's busy working with his guy? He said, what are you doing, Johnny? Oh, I'm working on my computer. And Johnny's busy listening to, Mama, Mama, we are crazy now. I'm not even sure if this is the fourth one, appearance. I think it is. Some women will put this first, but I put it last. Because a confident woman, even if she wore a simple dress, you saw the dignity of God, the beauty of God, the grace of a confident person in her life, even as she showed. You could just tell this person knows who they are, where they are going, and what God has done in their life. If you have great appearance but you have no content, you will become a sounding cymbal. So you see some people show up. Have you seen all those? I'm just tired of what they try to use to represent my community. What some of those young ladies wear to sing all those songs. It just is not representative. There's no content in their life. Then they wear diamond rings of $25,000. They've not read a book worth £5. You can tell. Their grammar is wrong. Because in America, the latest thing the rappers are doing is putting diamonds on the rims of their car. I don't care if you wear it in your hair. Content is what impresses me. However, because you have the previous three, even if you try to not show content, the beauty of what is inside you will manifest. These characteristics set you apart from the rest of the people in the world. Truly, a lot of women put the greatest emphasis on this part of their personality, and their wardrobe is a testimony to it, appearance. But it's very important because you could go one end and leave the other end. There are also our sisters who are praying for the right man for their life. But they don't take care of themselves. They say it's the anointing that matters. You got to understand, in the beginning of today's teaching, I said men are visual. No matter how anointed the man is, he's watching and praying. Watch and pray. I shouldn't go to the... I'm told I should click here and it'll take me to my next document, but I'll not do that. We'll do that after the break. When you come back, I wish we could have so many sessions, but the next one will be the last session, after which I'll teach extensively and then I'll really pray for everyone. How about that? Have you been blessed so far? Good. So make sure you get the books, the tapes. You need to order your pack on time. If you order 1, 2, 3, and 5, you get pack 4 free. It is pack 4 that I said is free when you buy 1, 2, 3, and 5. Don't go there and say he said pack 5 free. Merci beaucoup.